coming in as Loeb. Hewitt-Dyke centered it.
Flame bench, there's all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
Eckers put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, we are underway this hour on Flames Talk from the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. Welcome to the Hot Stove Lounge with Aaron Vickers. My name is Pat Steinberg. It is Monday, September 30th, and we welcome you to the Sports Drive brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Treat yourself with up to $500 in savings of fire-resistant gun safes. Explore the full line of safes at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. We're available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hopefully your weekend was good. Hopefully your Monday is going well, or whenever you may be listening to us. Hello, Vix. Happy Monday to you.
Oh, it is a happy Monday indeed. Game day.
Welcome to the final week of training camp. Welcome to the final week of the preseason. In 1 week's time, the calendar will officially turn from training camp to the regular season. On Monday of next week, 1 week from today, is roster deadline. You got to be cap compliant, and you got to be down to your 23-player roster at 3 o'clock Calgary time on Monday, October 7th, which means Sunday, October 6th, the final day for waivers before we get to that point, which means Sunday, October 6th, probably your big-time waiver dump that we see all those guys end up on waivers. So welcome to the final week of the preseason and training camp. 5 preseason games down, 3 to go. The latest was Saturday's 4-2 win over Vancouver here at the Dome to up Calgary's record to 4-0-1 in 2024. And let's start with the goaltending conversation, because it just continues to be overwhelmingly positive. Dan Vladar has been very strong in his 4 periods of work. He's set to go the full 60 in Monday's preseason game 6 at home to Seattle. Dustin Wolf in his 5 periods is a 943, and Devin Cooley is up over 920 in his work so far, and he's been very strong. And, you know, the third periods he's come in for the last little bit, he's looked really good. You've got all 3 goaltenders in a battle that we didn't know how it was going to shape up, and if any one of the 3 was truly going to jump up and seize a number one spot. All 3 have done everything in their power to do just that. So the goaltending conversation heading into Dan Vladar's first 60-minute effort, boy, this has been more positive than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be interesting. I thought it was going to be pretty nip and tuck to see how it ends up playing out, but I don't know if I saw it being this overwhelmingly positive to this point.
No, I don't think I would have had this on the bingo card in terms of 3 goalies entering sort of a 3-man competition for 2 spots and 1 starting role, or maybe 1A, 1B. We'll see how the season plays out. But the fact is that, yeah, Dan Vladar through 4 periods has looked sharp. Dustin Wolf through 5 has looked very, very sharp. And you mentioned Cooley as well with a 929 save percentage through the 5 periods that he's made appearances in. And so I don't think we've learned stuff along the way, but I don't think the picture's any clearer than it was 2 weeks ago.
I don't think we're any closer to having clarity on it. It's just been, we've learned that all 3 have played really well, but I don't think we're any closer or the picture is any more clear.
Well, and it's a unique sort of battle, too, because we've got 3 very different goalies as well as we take a look at this, and you've got Wolf, who's the quote-unquote undersized battler. The other 2 are 6'5" each, but to me, they play such different games in the crease, where you've got a very structured, very quiet Dan Vladar, and you've got Cooley, who from my perspective, and I'm, again, this is the stupidest position in sports, so take what I say with a little bit of a grain of salt in terms of the scouting aspect of it, but he's a very much a vibes and a feel and a movement guy to me, so he's almost a polar opposite to Vladar. But you look at the numbers and you look at just sort of the sheer, and you know what, you can even scrap the numbers and just go by the vibe or the feel that they're giving off in terms of, okay, do they have it? Don't they have it? What are they missing? All 3 goalies have shown that the 5 guys in front of them at any given time can trust them, can have confidence in them, and can be a calming aspect. So it's really interesting. I came into camp expecting 1 or 2 to falter and having a clear sort of, well, that guy's the opening night starter. But if you gave me odds, I don't know who I would bet on as being the guy on October 9th to get the first start of the season, just because all three have managed to make this a competitive fight that's going to be kind of a pain for Jordan Sigalet and the goalie staff, but in a good way.
Yeah, it's there's nothing negative about this being a difficult decision. And now with three more starts to divvy up, so Vladar we know is going to go Monday against Seattle, and for the first time he's going to go the full 60. So when it's all said and done, he'll have seven periods after Monday night of preseason action under his belt. My guess is, because Wolf hasn't dressed the last two games, my guess is Wolf starts Wednesday in Winnipeg and either goes the full way or Cooley gets in, and then maybe back to Vladar on Friday to wrap up the preseason. That's just a guess. Ryan Huska not tipping his hand. I don't even know if the goaltending department's figured it all out yet.
Right.
But that might be kind of my guess in terms of how this thing all plays itself out. So you've got a little bit more runway to get some more clarity or get some more body of work. But I don't know. Like, as of right now, I don't know if anything's changed. If the pecking order was Vladar, Wolf, Cooley in that order going into training camp, I don't know if that has changed, because all three guys have played really well. The only question becomes is, how willing are the Flames to keep all three guys on the roster to start the season?
That's going to be sort of the $64,000 question as we get closer to having to finalize rosters, because this would be a lot easier if Cooley, for example, had an .860 save percentage or hasn't shown well, but he was spectacular against Edmonton. He's been solid in his two relief appearances, to the point where if I'm the Calgary Flames now, I'm probably more worried than I was a week ago or 10 days ago to having put Cooley on waivers to get him to the American Hockey League. So now you're in a situation where, well, yeah, the Flames have tons of cap space. They've got lots of roster flexibility. Nobody in the entire history of the sport, particularly the goalies, have loved a three-goalie system at the NHL level. But not one of these guys has played to the point where they deserve to be taken out of the conversation to be either the 1A or the 1B to this point. So it's going to leave the team as a whole in sort of an interesting conundrum, because all three have shown, again, limited sample sizes, some five periods, some four periods, but not one single guy has faltered to the point where you can go, all right, well, we can scratch this name off the list and just proceed with the other two.
Here's the, as you mentioned, the fly in the ointment is the waiver situation. I don't think the Flames are interested in having Dustin Wolf start in the American League, nor
no.
should they be. You know, if Dustin Wolf struggles at the NHL level and come November or December, he needs time in the American League to play or bring his confidence back, sure, have that conversation then. But as of right now, I see zero reason for him to be anywhere but the Calgary Flames. The interesting one is Cooley. And as I mentioned off the outset of this segment, Monday, October 7th is when rosters need to be in. Sunday, October 6th, so this coming Sunday is your final day for waivers. I wonder if the Flames are willing to go beyond that and keep three goalies on the roster past that day. I wonder if they do make a waiver assignment of Cooley, if maybe it happens on Tuesday or Wednesday of next week, once guys have been claimed already. So, for instance, Vancouver might need another goaltender. Anaheim might need another goaltender with injuries right now, right? So there's two teams. Well, there's going to be multiple goalies who hit waivers on Sunday. If the Flames are not one of those teams, do Vancouver and or Anaheim have the, if they really want Cooley, do they have the stomach to wait it out and pass up on another goalie who might be out there that can help them and potentially wait for Cooley? If the answer is no, they don't have that stomach and they both claim a goalie on Sunday, well, then you have a much better idea, if you're Craig Conroy and Jordan Sigalet, of, okay, well, now we can put Cooley on waivers. And if he clears, well, then all of a sudden you've got a 30-day or 10-game exemption on the NHL roster to move him freely between the Flames and the Wranglers. So I just, if they're going to do it, if they're going to put him on waivers, I wonder if it happens after rosters are set around the league. Like, maybe it's Tuesday, October 8th, when we see a guy like Cooley hit waivers, if indeed that's the way the Flames are thinking.
That's an interesting strategy, because when you first started that sort of statement or that train of thought, I'm like, oh no, don't do that, because then he's going to be the only guy that hits waivers and you can't kind of shuffle him through when there's eight or nine other goalies that teams have to pick from. But you're right, it's almost a game of musical chairs where, all right, if another team like Anaheim and John Gibson's going to be out for a little bit, you want to sort of fetch a guy from somewhere else, hypothetically, you're going to do that shopping during that major waiver dump where you're going to have a handful of goalies and you're just going to pick one or two, depending on how your order priority goes, and you'll have to submit multiple depending on what guy you want or who's going to be available. But then those chairs are settled. And then if you're the Calgary Flames and you've done your due diligence and you're looking around the league going, okay, they've got two, they've got two, they've got
exactly.
two, then all of a sudden there's a strong chance that Cooley can just pass through. And the other thing to keep in mind here when talking about waivers is if Cooley's claimed, that NHL team has to keep him on the NHL roster. They can't just grab him and then shove him down into the American Hockey League. And if and when Cooley would re-enter waivers, if they decided at some point they wanted to, the team that claimed him wanted to send him down, the Flames would get first grab at bringing Cooley back. And if there are no claims then they're able to just shuttle him down to the American Hockey League. So it's a very interesting situation. I'm with you. There's no reason for Wolf to start in the American Hockey League. But there's going to be some decisions to be made because Vladar, Wolf, and Cooley have all played so well throughout this preseason.
On the text line, Sarah writes at 96960, do you mind sending any of those three to Vancouver? Sarah's our resident.
Yes.
She's a diehard listener, but also diehard Canucks fan. This says, you can't put Cooley on waivers. Vancouver would claim him in a second, which again is why I say you might need, because the Flames have zero cap issues, they can carry three goalies for a day or two and not have an impact. They could probably carry a 27-man roster if they wanted or more with their cap flexibility. So they've got a little bit more wiggle room to do things so they could wait out teams who are looking to claim goalies. This says, you guys should quit talking about how good Cooley's been. Maybe they won't pick up on it. I will say, I think the days of other teams listening to, out-of-town media and getting their scouting reports that way, I think those days are probably beyond us. I feel like with some of the technology that is available in the year 2024, maybe Flames Talk isn't a top resource for other teams.
So they're not sitting there with a pen jotting down my Wolf is the undersized battler, Cooley's a vibes guy.
Yeah, Stan Bowman's probably not listening right now. I don't think that Patrick Alvin's tuned in right now. I'll be like, oh, what are the Flames doing? Let's listen to Flames Talk and find out that. I think we're probably past those days. What have we thought of Jacob Pelche's camp so far as we enter the final week? He needs to be much better in this final week. He's going to play Monday night with Coleman and Backlund. Look, you're not going to find a bigger fan of Pelche. You're not going to find somebody who wants this to work more than I do. Yep. I am such an enormous fan of the human being Jacob Pelche is. But he needs to be much better in the final week because, I don't know, he's maybe number 16 or 17 when it comes to best forward so far in this camp. Like right now, Vix, we're going to hear a little bit of your chat with him that you did on Monday morning, but like I have him behind guys like Hanzik, Coronado, Klapka, Hunt, Morton, Lomberg, Rooney. All those guys are ahead of Pelche on my pecking order, and for a guy who's trying to crack an NHL roster and who is waiver eligible for the first time, he's going to need to have a much better final week of training camp. I want nothing more than to see that happen because, boy, I really want to see this guy succeed.
He is an absolute easy guy to root for. One of the easiest, I think, that I've come across in the 10-plus years that I've been covering the Flames. But you're right. Like he doesn't look like he's gotten his footing. He is quickly being trapped behind some of the names that you mentioned, whether it's Hunt, whether it's Klapka, so on and so forth. Certainly Hanzik and Coronado, so I don't even necessarily put those in that conversation. But he's getting passed, he's getting jumped, and he needs a strong game or two to show that, remember a couple years ago when he burst onto the scene and he was the energy guy and he was first in and bumping? He needs to get back to what his game is, And it's going to be absolutely critical that he does that fast, because when you start stacking up the depth chart, it makes you wonder if and how he would fit into the picture moving forward.
Here's a little bit of your conversation with Jacob Pelche from Monday morning, and you asked him how things have gone so far in training camp 2024.
Overall, I think it's good. I think, you know, of course, like offensively, I'm still kind of hesitant a little bit. I think I'm not quite there yet as I was like a year ago at the training camp. But I think it's going to come. You know, if I keep playing, you know, two-way, like 200 foot, if I keep like playing good on the forecheck, I think that's kind of my strength. And I think, you know, I've done that in the three or four exhibition games that I played. So just going to keep playing. And I think, you know, the offensive side, it's going to come. So, yeah.
You say you're hesitant a little bit. Is that the mental hurdle of trying to get over? You had a shoulder injury, you come back, and then you had another shoulder injury.
It's more like you know, when like you don't play too much game, you know, and even when I came back last year, I was not like 100% like myself. So I think it's just, you know, kind of keep it simple and come back to the basics. But at the same time, you know, it's kind of like to, you know, get like the scoring touch back, or you know what I mean. I think like once it's gonna go in, I think it's gonna come back. So again, you know, of course, as a player, you want to produce offensively, but, you know, if I'm being real, I don't think I'm going to play in that top six role, right? So now it's on me to play good in that D zone and 200 foot and be reliable and trustable for coaches. So, yeah, I think that's what I'm focused on. But again, as a player, you want to produce offensively. So
there's Jacob Pelche. He chatted with Vix a little earlier on Monday. We need to see more from him in the final week of camp. I hope it happens. He's getting a real solid opportunity again. Like I honestly think long term, playing with Coleman and Backlund could be a really good spot. Like the way Pelche profiles and his strengths, I think, really lend itself to being in that type of role. But you know, he's got to show that he's ready to do that and that he can be in a top nine role full time. So big opportunity for him on Monday.
Might be the biggest pressure situation of any of the forwards, I think, that we're going to see on Monday. And, of course, Sam Honzik and Matt Coronato are going to feel a little bit of the heat because they're trying to make their push to be Calgary Flames this season. But Jacob Pelche is almost in a little different category. He's a couple years older than those two guys. He's five years removed from being drafted now. 2019, and he's got to show that he can be an NHL regular. And when you're put into a spot like this, you're given this opportunity. We saw it on Saturday. We'll see it Monday. When you're playing with Michael Backlund and Blake Coleman, that is almost like the safety spot, because typically whoever has landed there, we've seen excel. And so Jacob Pelche in that spot at this juncture of preseason, You can't have an invisible game. You can't have just a okay is not okay for Jacob Pelche right now. You need to show something. And he said in that clip a couple of times, he talked a little bit about offense, but that's not what it's going to be about for Jacob Pelche. And I think he was just trying to maybe use that as, I got to find some confidence. And when you get scoring or you're helping produce at the other end of the ice, everything just becomes a little bit easier. But the fact of the matter remains is he's one of these guys that is going to be on the bubble that is competing. And you want to talk about, is there room for Sam Honzik or is there room for Matt Coronato or both? There's room for both somehow. There's probably not a spot for Jacob Pelche, never mind in the top 12, but maybe in the top 14 with the way things are shaping up. So such a massive audition against the Seattle Kraken upcoming for him.
I'll say this. I don't think that you can put him on waivers. I think you have to have him in your 14. And I just... I think that you need to, if you're Craig Conroy, I think you need to, you can't lose a first-round pick on waivers. I do think whether it's Montreal or San Jose,
Anaheim,
I don't think you can do it. And so if that means you have to start him as your 13 or 14, so be it. You've got to have some asset management on this situation. And Craig Conroy was here when Yusso got put on waivers. And I know Valimaki hasn't turned into a superstar in Arizona or now Utah or anything like that. But I just think that this you need to make sure that you don't lose this guy on waivers.
I agree and disagree with you at the same time because, oh, no, you can't lose a first-round pick. But that's not what his worth is anymore. If you put him out on the market I'll go on the record as saying I don't think you're fetching a first round pick.
It doesn't matter to me. But you can't lose a guy that 2 years ago was looked at as one of your top prospects in the organization. And yeah, I know it's been a rough couple of years. I just think it would be very poor asset management in my eyes if you lost him on waivers.
Let me get to the but. From my perspective, he's more valuable to you in the organization than a guy like Dryden Hunt, for example. Jacob Pelche is a player that you want to succeed, and not just because he was a first-round pedigree and that, oh, it wouldn't look good if you lost him for free on waivers or whatnot. He has the ability, it was a small sample size, but he does have the ability to impact games with his energy, with his speed, with his feistiness, with his tenacity. We just haven't seen that since last year's disaster. So if I'm Craig Conroy or I'm Ryan Huska, I'm more than willing to make him my number 13 or my number 14 to see if you can work him back into that confident mindset where he can be a difference maker for you on the fourth line and then see where he can take it from there.
See how this story plays out in the final week of the preseason and training camp as well. Steinberg Vickers along with you. This hour of Flames Talk well underway. We're coming at you here from the Hot Stove Lounge at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome and everything emanating back downtown in our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
Anything and everything Calgary Flames. It's all on Flames Talk. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Okay, it's Steinberg, Aaron Vickers along with you here in the Hot Stove Lounge at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. As we continue along on this Flames Talk Monday edition, it is Truth and Reconciliation Day across the country. Just wanted to correct myself a couple of times off the podcast. I've said this. I wanted to make sure I get it on the record. Just completely slipped my mind. I was saying it incorrectly. I've been saying Treaty 6 all day. We're on Treaty 7 territory. I just wanted to apologize and make that correction. I know what treaty we're on. I just completely slip of the tongue and apologize for that. So on this Truth and Reconciliation Day, September 30th, 2024, just wanted to recognize on Treaty 7 territory and made sure I got that correct and make that correction and apologies for that. It's Steinberg, Aaron Vickers, and look who the cat dragged in. I am very excited. I'm always excited to chat with this gentleman. Ryan Dietrich of Flames TV and the great Flames digital crew is with us here in the Hot Stove Lounge at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. Love talking hockey with this guy anytime, but you guys over at the digital department and Flames TV have done something brand new for 2024. So it's called The Chase Inside Flames Training Camp. It's a brand new original series. It's like an original series you'd see on Netflix or Paramount Plus or whatever the case may be. And it's going to be on Flames TV on all of your, whether it's the Flames website, YouTube, Facebook, so on and so forth. The Chase Inside Flames Training Camp. Okay. Well, deets, what are we talking about?
I'll give you the deets.
Yeah, the deets from deets.
Yeah. So the pitch back in August was, you know, especially with the journey the hockey team's been on these last, you know, calendar year especially, I'd say, that we knew there was going to be a push for a lot of youngsters to come into training camp this fall and, you know, push for spots, potentially earn them over the course of camp. And, you know, we thought it'd be a great time. We have investigated the possibility of doing a behind-the-scenes series for some time. That's a tough push to make because in hockey generally I would say it's been just something that's been more difficult to get across the line, but I think the stars kind of aligned for us perfectly. We came up with the pitch that let's follow the young guys around, let's chronicle their journey a little bit, and you know, stick with them right at the hip over the course of training camp, and you know, produce some fun features and see what their mindset is like as they come into camp with an opportunity to make the team, but actually learn about their process along the way. So we are fully behind the scenes, full access. We're in the locker room every day. Places, to be honest with you, that when I made this pitch back in August, I didn't think we would ever get to be. So I hope that gives fans a little bit of an insight as to what they can expect, because if it even blew my expectations away, hopefully it will serve to be quite entertaining and informative for the fan base as well.
Okay, so what goes into putting something like this together? It's going to be three episodes. The first one drops on Tuesday of this week. What goes into putting something like this together? Like, I've seen the teasers. I've talked to you a little bit about what this is all going to entail. Like, how do you go about putting something like this together? How do you plot out the storylines? How do you plot out what you're going to be following and what access you need? All that type of stuff. I'm fascinated as to kind of how you start storyboarding this whole thing.
Well, it's a good question because I think over the course of my career, too, I've been really interested in the behind-the-scenes working of a production like this. I've been involved a little bit here and there, shot a little bit for Oil Change and the Oilers back in the day, and that was a little bit of what we're getting to.
Yeah, what a drop.
So it's kind of like that, but better. But to answer your question, it's probably just as much of a learning process for us, too. I mean, we came in, and you understand this, too. Our Flames TV team, we're small but mighty. I often think we punch above our weight class in terms of the staffing, the resources we have. We have the most committed people on the planet. So long hours would be number one. We're pouring our hearts and soul into this thing. But I think that's what you're going to see in episode one in terms of where this story is going to take us. So episode one was kind of a bit of a feeling out process for us where we kind of set the table for the expectations from hockey ops, start talking to a little bit of the young guys like Matt Coronato, Jacob Pelche, Adam Klapka, Dustin Wolf, Hunter Brustevich. Like, we're trying to get where their head is at early in camp and then produce some fun features along the way. And I think as we continue here and you get into episodes two and three, then it's the players telling the story. We've seen guys emerge and really maybe separate themselves a little bit here at camp. So episode one is us telling what we think would be a compelling story, but then the players start writing the narrative going into episode two, and those camp battles really start to come into focus.
So can you give us a little bit, like, on the preview, we see a few of the players that you're talking to, and can you give us a little bit of an idea as to what kind of the narratives are going to be or how this is going to start to, like, what you're following and who you decided to hone in on?
Well, to start, what you're going to see first off in episode one is, going back, this must have been September 19th, so about 10 days ago, the team gathered an evening at Winsport. They had their sort of an orientation meeting, and that was however many players were at training camp, 60-plus in the same room, Craig Conroy, Don Maloney, Ryan Huska addressing the team and basically laying out the expectations for not only training camp but what the regular season is going to look like. So that, as a starting point for us, was fascinating because it's the unfiltered message that's going straight to the players. And from that point forward, we tried to, you know, capitalize on the access that we had by, you know, going to Ilya Solovyov's house and meeting the dogs and talking about his journey and going for car rides. We put a mic on Dustin Wolf and Hunter Brustevich in the game preseason game in Edmonton. On the way to Seattle, we hopped in the car with Jacob Pelche and Matt Coronato, so kind of got their thoughts on the way to the airport. And, you know, just trying to get them out of their element a little bit and tell stories that, you know, are maybe you've seen pieces of over time, but when you put it all in one package, I think you learn a little bit about these guys off the ice because it seems like their guard's been down a little bit.
Yeah.
How did you come up with choosing the subjects for this, or was it just a case of there's so many interesting stories among this youthful sort of turnover for the Calgary Flames where there's such an injection of young, exciting prospects? How do you pare down that list, or do you just kind of go out and see what happens?
A little bit of both, probably. In the first episode, I think our goal was, you know, how can we just maximize the access and produce something that's fun and, you know, we thought would be entertaining for the fans? You know, and part of that intel is not just, you know, us sitting around our office and coming up with ideas, but also when you spend enough time in the locker room and the coach's, you know, office, start to pick up on a few things and players that are being talked about a lot. So we want to, you know, tell that story in the form of fun features and get them out into the spotlight a little bit. So it's no accident that we'll be featuring the players that we are. And you'll see that again as we get into episode two. And I know I keep, you know, kind of pushing that one along too, because for me, that's where this story takes on a bit of a different life.
Yeah.
We start getting into literally the meetings where players are being sent down, which I don't think I've seen anywhere. And our hockey operations people, Ryan Huska, credit to him. You heard his answer the other night when Julian asked the question post-game. He's been very receptive to that. Naturally, there's a bit of, you know, initial comfort that you got to get over, but I think that comes along with building trust with an organization, and we've worked hard to achieve that over the last few years.
How have you got the buy-in from the players? Because I could imagine being a young guy that's maybe on the bubble or on the cusp or just trying to push in your first or second camp, you can be a little bit guarded. How have you seen the players interact or just be willing to take on a project like this when they've got the, you know, the fight of their lives in terms of making an NHL team right under their belt?
It's a great question, and they've been awesome. I haven't received, you know, any negative feedback from anybody, whether that's the veterans or the young guys. And you're right. I mean, we're kind of invading their space a little bit, to the point where, you know, you guys were talking about Jacob Pelche before I came on here, and this is a crucial time for him, but he'll still be giving us the time we need to tell the story. We're not getting in the way of his training and things like that, but it is an important thing for us to chronicle. And at the end of the day, I think when you build that trust, and I've been lucky to be in this team's locker room for a number of years now, you just establish a comfort level with these guys. And I think we're only 10 days into this ultimately, but even now, we're so much further along than we were 10 days ago, because those first couple of days, That was the first time they had seen a camera that was in a place they wouldn't normally see it. But Now it's there every day, and we're getting some jokes, and, you know, guys are comfortable with it. They come to us. They want to be a part of it. So, you know, it's been really interesting. I thought there'd be more resistance, but it's actually been quite open for us.
Well, on the flip side, have you seen any of that? I don't want to say resistance, but maybe some hesitation from the coaching staff or the management, because these are guarded secrets at times, it feels like. And here you are, involved with the camera, just sitting right along.
Well, I feel like there's a bit of a running joke going on now where Ryan Huskell will just kind of turn to me and be like, oh, I didn't see you there. But he'll say it like 10 times a day at this point. So I think he's getting wise to the fact that I'm just – and I don't blend in very easily. So, you know, it's nice to get the buy-in from the
coach.
Not
with those shoes. They're always so pristine.
These ones in particular are very white.
They're a little scuffy.
This guy
shoe game
takes care of his shoes better than anybody I've ever seen. It's Ryan Dietrich of Flames TV sitting in with us here on Flames Talk. We're here in the Hot Stove Lounge, and the original series, three-part original series, is called The Chase Inside Flames Training Camp. It's cool, Dietz, because it's always been, how many times have we said on this show, I would love to be a fly on Ryan Huskey's wall, or I would love to, you know, be in the corner of a, you know, Craig Conroy and management's conversation, and you're doing that, and you've got to be in there. The camera's gotten to be in there. That's kind of a big part of this, isn't it? Is that whole idea of bringing a fan, bringing a passionate Flames supporter into the things that they'd never see before, and it's kind of it's privileged access for all of us who are going to get to see this. It's that to me is the part that you're like, wow. Like, this stuff doesn't happen very often, especially in such a secretive sport like hockey, as Vic's alluded to.
Yeah, and when we're hanging around, I, you know, in the back of my head, I'm wondering, are they filtering the conversation for us? But then I go back to what I said earlier, when we're in Ryan Huska's office and they bring in a kid like Andrew Bascha to be sent back down, and there's a very honest conversation happening between the hockey side and the player side. It's an 18-year-old kid who was just drafted a few months ago. And to your point earlier, Vix, I was interested to see how a player like him would react, because he's so young, to walk into that office. It's a pretty intimidating situation to begin with. And now there's a camera in the corner recording everything that both sides are saying.
Well, recording, hey, you just got cut.
That's right.
Yeah.
And me. So this camera's not just there. It's also, you know, another person who they don't have a great relationship with either. So it does take a lot of buy-in. And honestly, this goes back to whether it's Ryan Huska, Craig Conroy, Don Maloney, ownership, Michael Backlund and the leadership group. They don't get enough credit for pushing this thing along, because none of this happens without them buying in. And to Ryan Huska's answer the other night, this is the direction that sports as a whole is going. So for them to kind of crack the door open for us, we're taking advantage of that and jumping right in. And, you know, see where it goes, because we want this to go well beyond just the length of training camp here.
Has there been, like, what's been the coolest part so far?
Spoiler alert.
Not like the coolest part of, like, the actual finished product, but you being behind the scenes and you being part of the filming and all of that. What's been the coolest part of seeing this come together, whether it be the access or the camera angles, or just, like, what has really got the juices flowing for you the most?
Well, I'm laughing because this is about as close to playing in the NHL as I'll ever get. So being in the locker room when they're getting ready to go out for a period or a game, or come in after a win, that's a pretty cool feeling. And we've been lucky to have that in the past too. But to be able now to share those moments with the fans, I mean, that's what it's all about. And they're very intimate moments too. But to be able to share it, this is what your fan base wants. They've been clamoring for this for years, and now we're hopefully going to be able to deliver on it.
Anything that's surprised you? Anything that's kind of in a positive way where you said, geez, I wasn't expecting that? Anything that has jumped off the page in that regard for you?
No, I I think I always know that there's a lot of one-on-one time spent between player and coach, but to be able to see it live and in person now, you really understand that, you know, when this many players come to training camp, you would think maybe a casual fan might think that's a lot of bodies. You might not pay as close attention to somebody who we all know probably doesn't have a great chance of making the team, but that doesn't matter. You know, whether he was drafted in the seventh round or as a, you know, a highly touted first round pick, they come here and are getting the same attention to detail and level of coaching that you would expect because they care about this player's development. And, you know, Don Maloney said it at that meeting that we're going to see tomorrow night. This is an opportunity for every player because they wouldn't be in this situation if they didn't think they could help the Calgary Flames win hockey games. So everybody matters on the same scale.
So the biggest challenge has been kind of paring it all down. Like all, you probably got just like hours and hours and hours of content and so many things that you want to get in. Has that been the biggest challenge? Kind of the, you know, paring it down and being really judicious in terms of what makes it and what doesn't?
Yeah, and we've probably had to adjust a little bit on the fly too and becoming very intentional about what we're shooting because we know we have such a editing process to go through. And
so that kind of evolves on the fly?
Yeah, and I think in this case it has to because we're, you know, and I'll say it again, we're not a big team right now working on this. And I would compare us to Amazon series, which is coming out later next week or this week. This is not the same amount of bodies that is being poured into the product, but the amount of hours and the dedication we have and the love we have for the Calgary Flames too, I think will shine through. So yeah, it's there's a lot of footage to go through, especially on game nights. The other night we had Sam Honzik wearing a mic. Tonight we'll have Adam Klapka mic'd up too. So
okay.
There's a lot of fun mic'd up moments that I think fans will get a kick out of.
So it's called The Chase Inside Flames Training Camp. First of all, when are the release dates? Starts with Tuesday, October 1st, and just kind of goes from there.
Yeah, tomorrow night, 6 p.m.
6 p.m., okay.
Yeah, 6 p.m., that's the time. So you'll see it on our website, but also on YouTube, which we'll be using the premiere function, which always tends to bring a crowd in. So we hope you'll join us for that. Episode 2, Friday, 6 p.m. as well. And then the final episode next Tuesday, October 8th, the night before the season opener. So
yeah,
hopefully we haven't gotten there yet because we're just starting. I think tomorrow will be our third episode, you know, shoot date beginning. Hopefully at that point we start to see some of these tougher decisions and these camp battles really wind down and deliver a pretty pretty strong finale.
So you can get it on CalgaryFlames.com. You can get it on the Flames YouTube. And Tuesday, 6 o'clock Calgary time is when this drops. It's called The Chase Inside Flames Training Camp, an original Flames TV series. I'm looking forward to it. Honestly, I'm looking. Do we have a pretty good idea of like what run times are going to be?
North of 20 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
each.
So pretty. Yeah. Pretty meaty when it's all said and done, eh? That's awesome.
That's what Flames TV is known for.
Are you, like, exhausted yet?
Yes, very.
Good.
I was going to say,
that means it's going to be a good product.
Can you tell the bags
was a shot at how your current energy level is.
No, not at all.
Or appearance.
It feels like it's a lot of work, so I just wanted to underline how much work something like this probably entails, definitely entails. So, good job, man. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate having me on.
Ryan Dietrich, how do we get you on Twitter?
At Ryan Dietrich.
There's no TV on that one? Okay.
No.
I never know.
Not yet.
Okay. Ryan.
So maybe after the premiere?
Yeah, maybe.
At Ryan Dietrich, DITTRICK.
Nailed it.
At Ryan Dietrich on Twitter with Flames TV. Great stuff as always, buddy. It's good to see you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for stopping in. Ryan Dietrich here in the Hot Stove Lounge with us as we start to wrap things up this hour on Flames Talk. Check out The Chase Inside Calgary Flames Training Camp starting on Tuesday night, 6 o'clock. It'll be all over Flames socials, and you'll be able to get Instagram, Twitter, link there. Go to the Flames website. Go to the Flames YouTube. It'll be all over it. I'm looking forward to it. 3 episodes starting on Tuesday. As we start to wrap up this hour, Aaron Vickers is on Twitter at AA Vickers. Back downtown, Cam and Shan have been our producers this hour. My name is Pat Steinberg, and that'll wrap us up on the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Treat yourself with up to $500 in savings of fire-resistant gun safes. Explore the full line of safes at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.